Okay, motorists, fill her up and check the oil. We're going to tour the Shell garage, the BA garage, and take a look at the automobiles in the Kootenai Brown Pioneer Village collection. Well, in the early 20th century, when we get out of our pioneer era, mechanized transportation forced the wagon and the team to go the way of the horseless carriage. Amid that drastic change, automotive repair garages succeeded the traditional livery stables and blacksmith shops. And of course, those horseless carriages are thirsty. So besides retail gasoline sales, most fuel stations doubled as repair shops. One popular service was tire repairs, and many a youth learned how to pop a tire from its rim with the bead breaker. So let's take a look at who some of the proprietors were of these early garages. Richard Walter Morgan, born 1878, died 1957, had extensive experience as a railroader when he settled in Pincher City in 1907 and opened a grocery store near the railway depot. But that store burned to the ground in 1914. Undeterred, Richard Morgan seized the initiative to capitalize on the new era of the horseless carriage. In 1916, he built a commercial garage and established Pincher Creek Motors as the repair and sales agency for Chevrolet cars. Ever the astute businessman, in January 1917, Morgan moved the business into the town of Pincher Creek, where he built up a wide clientele. He constructed a large garage on East Avenue at the bottom of the South Hill, which was centrally located between both the Commerce and the Union Banks and along the route of the original Waterton Lakes Highway. This location ensured Morgan some high tourist traffic from the town and patronage from farmers visiting in town to do banking, business, and socializing at the nearby Alberta Hotel. The main doors of Pincher Creek Motors faced east, and the garage ran rectangular behind the Union Bank, where its north-facing repair bays were filled with mechanics working on the early motorized cars. A second floor at the front of the building served as an apartment for the Morgan family. During the 1930s and 40s, one of those service bays was leased out to Boss Zodeman, who was the agent for Minneapolis Moline, tractors, and farm implements. By the way, the unique false front of R.W. Morgan's Pincher Creek Motors is the same as what is recreated in the village's Shell Garage building exhibit. Zodeman's implement dealership increased the garage's business traffic. Alfred Deegan, a mechanic from Edmonton, who serviced the farmer's machinery for 6 weeks each summer during the late 1930s. The Morgan building was purchased by the Pincher Creek Cooperative Association Limited in 1947, which operated that garage until 1957. The Morgan family opened a new garage and gas station at the corner of Main Street and Bridge Avenue, constructing an archway addition onto the former Gill Block. Further west, new and used vehicles were sold on a car lot, and this is the location on Main Street of the 7-Eleven today. Pincher Creek Motors would be owned and operated by three generations of the Morgan family. Grandfather Richard Walter, who we've met, the son Jack Sr., and Jack Jr. The business represents one of the longest-term family investments in the town's commercial history. Pincher Creek Motors received the General Motors Company Quarter Century Dealership Award in 1942. Pincher Creek Motors closed in the late 1970s. Now as to other garages, two brother-in-laws, Iva Luther Montgomery, also known as Ben Montgomery, and Charles William Hart, opened the Montgomery and Hart Garage, operated on Main Street as Pincher Creek's original Ford dealership. Launched in 1914, it too received a quarter-century dealership, this time in 1939. Montgomery was a homesteader from south of Pincher Creek, and he was the namesake of Montgomery's Gap in the foothills. After losing his arm in an accident in the 1940s, Montgomery sold the garage to the Frey family. In 1947, Louis Sorge operated the garage with and ultimately followed by his sons, Francis and Bud Sorge. Other automotive businesses included the Highland Garage on Main Street and the Quinlan Garage on the South Hill. Now, as you travel through our exhibits and you notice the different memorabilia, the car parts, the oil cans, and the various bric-a-brac of automobile motive memorabilia, you will also see other things that you would find in car garage. Because with motoring came other activities, as gas stations marketed on the go. With motoring came other activities, as gas stations marketed on-the-go items such as cigarettes and soda pop. Eateries catering to the driving public became popular in the 1950s, and drive-through restaurants like the Bunny Bar and gas station diners like Mount View Esso were popular. Drive-in movies where the car was the seat and the sound came from the upright speaker was a staple of mid-century pastime. Now, Kootenai Brown Pioneer Village has noticed as it moves forward in its interpretive period that the age of the automobile will become prominent. So to accommodate the village's growing collection of vintage automobiles, both the Shell Garage and the Antique Car Barn, which is now known as the BA Barn, will better shelter and allow future visitors to appreciate our fleet and allow improvements for other exhibit areas. Through our center square in the village, you will also see the antique gas pumps, hand-cranked sight glass pumps. And currently we have three of those, marking Shell, BA, and a UFA co-op one, marking the era of the cooperative fuel marketing as well. And now we're going to take a look at our antique auto collection. As you tour these two buildings, these vehicles will not be in any particular order. So we'll just go from the top. I think one of our most distinctive ones is the 1928 Chevrolet Hearse. Originally purchased as a flatbed for farm use, the original owner entered the funeral business as the Pincher Chapel. The grain box on the truck was replaced with a hand-built cab, a wooden frame with a satin interior, to make the occupant's last ride in dignity and style. Now we come to the 1929 Chevrolet Series AC International. It's a grayish-looking coupe, and Chevy manufactured nearly 850,000 of these Series AC vehicles in 10 body styles. This coupe featured Chevy's first six-cylinder engine, the first that they had incorporated since 1915, replacing the four-banger flathead. Advertised as a 6 in the price range of the 4, the AC was also known as the Stovebolt 6. Now, you will also see a bright yellow 1927 Ford Model T Roadster pickup. Henry Ford developed the assembly line to produce the first mass-produced automobile, the Model T, in 1908. Developed in 14 varying body styles for work and regular transport, the T heavily dominated the automotive market for decades, and Ford sold 16.5 million units between 1908 and the final end of production in 1928. Henry Ford had a saying, "You can have your Model T in any color you want, as long as it's black." Now you may realize in looking at the paint job here that something may be a little bit off. Ford himself insisted in producing his cars only in basic black. But that didn't stop gray, green, blue, and red cars from coming off the line. Customers also painted their own vehicles, indicated by the bright appearance on this versatile farm truck. Now, the 1929 Ford Model A Tudor sedan. Despite the success of the Model T, Henry Ford responded to eroding market share with the Model A name he'd used previously in 1903. This modern Model A was introduced in 1928, and the Tudor style was available in three standard colors, gray, green, or black. By the end of 1929, over 2 million Model A's had been sold, and this Tudor model would originally set you back $500. Now, in 1930, Ford began to get sporty with the Model A coupe. By 1930, Ford had added more than three dozen body styles to the successful Model A line. This coupe features the four-cylinder inline L engine, stainless steel cowling, and the convertible rumble seat at the rear. The Model A line was discontinued in 1932, replaced by the Model B. Interesting fuel tank placement was that it was in the cowl, right in front of the windshield. Now, moving up in our eras, we get into the post-war era of the 1949 International KB5 truck. that was formerly owned and operated by the Pincher Creek Cooperative Association. International Harvester produced the K and the KB series in 42 different models in 142 differing wheelbase lengths. Some 122,000 of the KB series were sold between 1947 and 1949, including this Pincher Creek Co-op model. Now, the museum is also graced by the Volkswagen Company. The Volkswagen Company began in Germany as the vehicle of the labor movement, as the people's car. It was co-opted by Adolf Hitler during the Second World War, but the company was reorganized in 1948 as an icon of West German renewal. The famous Beetle became a staple of the worldwide car market, and you will also see a pink convertible Beetle in the collection of the Whitney Brown Pioneer Village. As well as this staple of domestic transportation, the station wagon Fastback, offering an economy car with family space for light cargo. Volkswagen introduced this Type 2 model cast in the popular Competition Orange coloring of the era. Now, in 1973, Volkswagen introduced their Fastback car, their answer to the station wagon craze that the big manufacturers were doing at that point in time. The 1969 Volkswagen Karmann Ghia was an upscale into the sports market in 1955 with a two-door coupe, and they followed with a convertible style in 1957. Unlike the Beetle, the Ghia featured smooth body panel lines, but the sports model was priced at twice the cost of a Beetle. Nearly a half million Karmann Ghias were produced until 1974, when Volkswagen replaced it with the Porsche 914. And we finish off with the collection's only motorcycle, a 1983 BMW R100 RS. BMW stands for Bavarian Motor Works. Nominally thought of as a European model, BMW did actually produce 100 of their 60th anniversary R-Series motorcycles for the North American market.